life on the road. It's
booze, tacos, angry dwarves, strippers waving guns,
and
fees, fights, canceled flights, running with the runs,
and
blacklists, bounce checks, great, a bachelorette, drunks in the front, making out through your set,
and
middle acts doing blow, more missing merch,
and
drive the rental car past another mega church,
and
juice, keys, vagina, fist, your cell phone is gone, one big Law and Order marathon.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning to the Road Stories podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Murray Valeriano. We're part of All Things Comedy. We're back.
Boy, I can't believe you made us come back a whole day later.
Well, I really appreciate it. You guys, Jeff's only in town for a little bit. I got to get him whatever day. Wait till you find out you got to come back tomorrow.
Oh, good.
I don't know if they'll let me push my flight again.
This is episode 2 with Dave Waite and Jeff Tate. And
so you're trying to juice the numbers here? Just put out as many podcasts? Makes the illusion that you got a lot more pod than, or you just think people want a 20-minute episode?
I'm shooting for 20-minute episodes for a little while. I've been doing this for a long time. I just want to shake it up. My listeners will tell me if they like it or not.
Okay.
You know? And I figure, why not do
it? Dear Murray, I would like the episode to be longer.
Yeah, they always want it to be longer.
Really?
I like seek out podcasts that are like 30 minutes to 45 at the max.
Right.
Once I see it's over like an hour, I'm like, don't give a fuck.
Right. And I had a discussion the other day at Rock Solid with a couple of the listeners who came out. When I listen to a podcast and let's say I'm going to the Ice House and it takes me an hour and the podcast is an hour and a half, I stop at the hour. I never go back and finish it. So, statistically, only 40% of podcasts are listened to all the way through or something like that.
Wow.
Something like, I don't know. I've been reading up on it. I don't know why.
Like a 20-minute podcast. People can take a walk around the neighborhood.
Yeah, totally. Go to the store.
Go to the store.
So anyway, that's what we're looking at right now. What's been going on in the Midwest? How's the touring going?
Good. It's good. I'm still thinking about the people. I feel like the people that like them short are reasonable people and they don't email. Like maniacs. The people that like them long are the ones you'll hear from.
Oh, absolutely.
That's kind of what I meant. They're always going to say they want it longer because
right.
The ones who don't just don't say anything.
Yeah, that's true. And you guys can have another pin since you came back today.
Oh, cool. We get a pin for each day.
A pin for each day.
Well, I've been doing some touring.
Yeah.
Trying to get... I like to take out the people in Cincinnati.
Take
some of those comics out.
That's cool.
And just have a good time. Like I'm trying to book, I booked some of these like little short runs that are kind of break evens where I'll take a couple guys and it's almost like a vacation trip, like a work trip.
Like a vacation to Daytona?
Yeah, like a school trip.
Can you not play with the pins?
My bad, dog. I'm a fiddler.
Here, have a stack of poker chips.
You had like a plan in here, I would rip off the leaves and I would start ripping those apart. I don't know what it is. I think I might have the attention thing. You know,
attention. It's fine. I mean, play with them, just not on the table.
I just was like, man, I'll play with those.
What do you mean by the attention thing?
I think I might have a deficit,
a disorder, or something.
I think you have a deficit of attention.
Yeah.
I think when you're not getting attention, you start playing with stuff.
Because
right now you're not doing it. You're like everything's going great.
Well, it'd be weird if I wasn't paying attention when you were looking at me. If
right.
I was still doing that.
Yeah. But I mean,
well,
it's weird that you don't pay attention when we don't look at you. That's the part that's weird. Yes, you're right. It would be weird if you weren't paying attention when we were looking at you. It is usually weird when you're not paying attention when I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
I always feel uncomfortable. But you never know because you're not looking at me.
So did you guys get started together? Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you think we're like, it's like we've been married.
I know. I could tell, man. I could tell. So you got started when?
It's about 16 years ago.
Yeah. So
I started in 2003. Like it's been a little over 16 years.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
First time I hung out with Jeff, we got an argument in a Max and Irma's.
Oh, what's a Max and Irma?
It's like any other restaurant.
It's like if Applebee's gave you hot cookies at the end.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, if Applebee's was run by your grandparents and not your divorced aunt.
What was the argument about? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I just remember he Jeff had started in Cincinnati, then he went away to Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
And then he came back, and in that time I'd started with some people, and he came back and he had all this bravado.
Right.
And he was like, "I'm the king of the town." And I was like, "I don't know who this guy is." And I was like, "Fuck this guy." And he's like, "I was here before you." And I was like, "I'm here now."
I mean, I think that was a lot of that was not like said out loud.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
A lot of it was Dave's perception of everybody thinking he's shittier than he is.
Uh-huh.
Has nothing to do with me as a person. I did come back. Like, I had been doing stand up for a couple of years. And so whatever. Like, I just came back. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be worse at it because your feelings might get hurt.
How was Philly? I don't think I've ever performed. I saw the Dead in Philly, tripping on acid, and ended up walking around the park outside for till like sunup. And then they condemned the building the next day.
Oh.
It was the old RFK or JFK, I forget. Washington, D.C.
Oh, that was like in the 90s, bro, right?
Yeah, until 91 probably. Right, 90, right before Brett Midland died.
Oh, so you walked around.
They taped that show. That show's like a film, right?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. You can totally check it out, man.
Can you see yourself in there?
I don't think so.
Can you see anything about the building that makes it look like it's a day away from being condemned?
Wait, we'll say that again.
Are there pieces in the venue just loose falling down?
I don't know.
When you walked around it, when you were walking around, did you walk around the building seven times and accidentally bring it down like in the
Jericho?
Old Testament? Yeah. Like this is the only other time that worked.
I must have been some pretty strong acid. Huh?
That's hilarious. Only the preacher's kids will get that. There's a Grateful Dead song called Jericho. No, that's Samson and Delilah. Never mind. Totally different Bible story.
But there is a what was it? What did you just say?
The band.
Yeah, that's the one with Atlantic City, right?
Maybe
Atlantic City's on that one. Jericho. It's got.
Oh
like
yeah,
a,
I have it up there.
It's got like the album cover is soft.
It's not a good album cover.
It's like a Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel
exclusive.
Yeah. But that song was amazing. They should have done more of that.
Of Atlantic City?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, their version of it was fantastic.
They should have just covered everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're,
like
good. Their version of When I Pay My Masterpiece is a goddamn masterpiece.
Oh, my God. It's my favorite, man. And I first learned of that song going to see the Grateful Dead in the 80s. Yeah, so that's where I first learned of that song. I love that song. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I would listen to that all the time. Like, that's why I love that song.
So Jericho, what did they do? They marched around the. It was a walled city, so they walked around it for like 7 days.
No, seven times.
Oh, seven times.
Seven times, and then they all blew their trumpets, and the walls fell down, and then they charged in and fucked them up.
Yeah,
I guess it was some kind of war thing, but it was on the. You know, it was us. It was the good guys. God and the good guys were smashing up this town. Whatever. I mean, I remember the time that story really took effect, like really took root in my head was when I was like five and my parents took me and Troy, who was three, and we walked around a Planned Parenthood building seven times with a bunch of other protesters.
What?
Yeah, we were props. We were used as props in an abortion protest.
I was used as a prop in an adult bookstore protest. I was the only fourth grader who knew why you had to walk back and forth in a protest, because if you stop, you can get arrested for loitering. That's why you have to walk back and forth. That's what my dad kept yelling at me. I'm like, I'm in fourth grade. What am I going to get arrested for?
Loitering.
Yeah, that's why.
But you would have never, you wouldn't have found out about an adult bookstore until you were probably like at least in high school, maybe junior high.
Absolutely.
And then your dad's taking you. Did he explain what it was?
I don't know. I just remember I kept trying to look through the door when like guys would walk through the door. I would just try to peer in.
I can't believe a guy like these guys. I'm impressed by. I want to know about these captains of industry who will walk through a crowd of people into an adult bookstore. Like. I get nervous buying a Maxim at the fucking gas station.
Well, this is back when porn was like a scarcity.
Yeah, there's yeah, I don't so think there's really I, you no
would
shame. Think
it would be worse. It would be harder
yeah,
to
absolutely.
Do.
Now there's kind of no shame in it. Yeah. You know, it depends on what you're watching, I guess.
Well, it depends on it. Well, there's no shame in it because you got away from those people.
Yeah, that's true.
There's still shame in it, but it's theirs now. You're not involved.
Makes sense. That makes
like,
sense.
Like, you don't have to involve, like, the, you don't, you didn't bring any of it with you.
Right.
I mean, there's probably a lot of people that turned away. They're probably about to go in there. But they're like, oh, shit, there he is. I know that guy, the protester. I got, well, I wasn't going that way. I'll get into the protest with him.
Yeah, I came to join the protest.
I'm going to go in. I just
yeah,
like
I
to
wore
know.
This trench coat for the protest.
I'm going to go look around. I just like to know what I'm protesting.
Now, do you ever, your dad was a preacher, right?
Yes.
Do you ever, this happens to me once in a great while because on, I think it's on my Wikipedia page. It says I'm the son of a preacher.
Yeah.
And so I'll get, hey, you want to come do this church function? Because they say I'm a preacher's kid, and I turn them down because I'm not a church style.
You're not
comedian.
A church.
I'm not a church.
No, there's nothing in my bio that says that.
Mm-hmm.
And enough stuff that says other things that even if it did say that, they probably wouldn't call me.
Right.
And I don't really want them to. But I could go do it. Like, I would say yes. And I would go do the show. And I would do a clean show. But I would also hit them for being hypocrites at some point.
Right, absolutely.
And do my jokes about why they're full of shit. Just to see. Like, just to, you know, just to get it into their heads. Like, I'll say yes to that. Because it would be, I would have something to talk about the next time I'm on Road Stories.
Right. Well, please, if you ever do it, please come back.
But also $1,000 a minute. That's what I charge for churches because you guys just have it. You just,
right.
Just ask for more.
I do know. There's a,
you gotta get one of those microphones like that though.
One of those.
And then be like,
Chris
welcome.
Titus microphones.
Oh boy.
I'm going to give you my talk. Jesus was a socialist. Where are you going?
Right? The gospel of prosperity is full of shit.
Dude, there's a ton of money. I know a guy out of Atlanta, Andrew Stanley, who's probably listening to this. What's up, Andrew? He does church. His dad's like a famous mega church preacher.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm surprised I never heard of him. But so he goes and does all these church, like mega churches, does 20 minutes and makes bank, just a ton of cash. I'm like, man.
You got to respect that. You got to respect somebody who gets in on that grift without becoming a preacher.
Yeah.
Like you got in on the grift. That is fantastic.
Like, kind of honestly, too. No false pretenses. I don't think he's trying to save anybody with his comedy.
You're getting laughs.
Yeah.
Like you're getting some laughs. And nobody is ever trying to save anybody at church. They get themselves up their own butts about that, but you're already at church. That is where that is why the phrase is preaching to the choir.
Right.
It's about church. It's all you do is talk to, cause I used to say like, there was like my dad's friends would be, my dad and my dad's friends would be like, why don't you do Christian comedy? Why don't you do? And I go, what? I hang out in the night. Like, that's what you want me to come tell you want me to come. That's what you want. Like in your head, I'm going to do more good. By doing these jokes in church because you think that I'm going to bring people. So why wouldn't I do it at nightclubs? Like, are you out of your mind? Why would I do it at a church? Like, Jesus didn't go to church.
Oh, right. I see what you're saying.
He hung out with the dirtbags.
Right.
Like, so he went to where people needed saving. And
so if you were going to do it, you wouldn't do it in a church. You would do your Christian comedy in a club.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I don't think anybody would call it that. I don't think anybody would call it Christian comedy.
I'm saying if you did Christian comedy,
yeah, I would do it in clubs. There's a guy right now that Justin Chris or whatever.
Andrew opens for him a lot.
Yeah. He does clubs and I respect it.
He does massive theaters too, man. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. He does big rooms, but but he's still doing rooms. He's not doing churches. Like,
right.
I kind of respect, like, I would definitely respect that more because you're at least going out and getting it. You're not,
yeah,
you're not begging it. You're like, people know there's a, that it's a transaction
yeah.
with him. It's not, they don't think they're going to heaven because they did, because they bought a fucking ticket.
I've noticed going just kind of, and I've been talking a lot about death and religion lately because I almost died last year. And I found that so many people in America consider themselves Christians because they're American.
Oh yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
They so like, tied, they, yeah, I'm a Christian together.
Cause I'm American. Yeah. I'm a Christian. Well,
they're patriotic. Yeah, like they've really worked this whole thing out. Like,
yeah, no, it's like, pretty smart.
They're
pretty
good. Clever. The grift goes to the top, man. Yeah. Everybody's figured out how to make money off of everybody else except for me.
Yeah, yeah, well.
And you guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're right there with you. Yeah, I don't know. I could never, I don't like the idea of limiting what I can talk about. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Man, and I'm going to say what I want. Well, I die penniless. I'm going to tell the truth right till the end.
That's what I want on my.
Hit my GoFundMe for my liver. I've been speaking the truth.
I just like it because I've grown up in such a Christian house. I wasn't allowed to talk about stuff.
Were you rebellious as a teen? You did take LSD and go to the Grateful Dead, so you dropped out pretty hard. Were you, how old were you? You must have been like 16.
Whoa, slow down, Diane Sawyer.
One question at a time.
This is real gotcha.
Well, I think coffee's kicked in.
So what was a big turning point? What was one of those moments that pushed you closer to this?
To stand up?
No, not stand up, to this. Oh. To you now. Oh. So you were a pastor's kid. Yeah. At what age did you realize you weren't going to be a pastor?
Oh, I never even wanted to be a pastor or thought about it.
Okay, I was being pushed into.
Oh, you were?
I was being groomed. Yeah.
No, I had zero interest in it. I never liked church when I was a kid. I never liked school. I didn't like getting up in the morning and going and have somebody talk to me for hours. I hated it. So yeah. That's why I do it at night and talk to people for hours.
No, I think the like you said with the attention compulsion, like my compulsion is probably similar to yours, where when you grow up, you don't, like in that household, you don't get to have any of your own opinions. You're just right. Wrong. And when you're on stage, if somebody fucking yells that's wrong, you can make them leave. Or yeah. Somebody will make them leave. Or you can tell them to fuck off.
Right.
You can argue back.
Like, yeah, defend it. Yeah.
You can get like all of the things you want. Like, so you have that, like, there was somebody, like you wanted your... Like I wanted my opinions. I wanted my ideas. Like I wanted to be able to say them from the beginning to the end without being interrupted and told by like some guy who just doesn't give a fuck. Like he's never going to listen to me.
Right.
And he was just never going to believe anything I said. Like he pushed me into politics and religion. Like, so like I read the books he would tell me to read.
Is this your dad?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just never bought into any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I read a Rush Limbaugh book when I was like 13.
Oh boy.
He bought it for me. He was like, you like reading? Here's this. And I thought it was funny because none of the books I had read had been funny yet.
Right.
And this one was like kind of funny. So it was a lot funnier than the fucking Hardy Boys.
Right.
And then I found like a Dave Barry book, and goddamn, that made Rush Limbaugh not that funny, which means Rush Limbaugh was never funny, because then you see Monty Python and you're like, what am I reading for?
Right. Where are you on Dave Barry by any chance?
There's some stuff I like. There's a couple of Dave Barry jokes that still are in my head.
Because I didn't really read any of his stuff, but, and I always kind of thought he was just like one of those hacky, you know, Reader's Digest writers, joke writer thing. But then he was really tight with Warren Zevon. They were really good friends. Yeah. And so I was like, well, if Warren likes him, there's got to be something there.
I don't know if that's... I think Warren Zevon just liked him. Like, Warren Zevon was kind of a weirdo.
Well, true.
I don't mind Dave Barry. Like, some of the stuff he's written is pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Like he wrote an article that, like, a syndicated... a column that was in the Sunday paper every week.
Yeah.
So sure, it was the funniest thing in the fucking paper,
right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then he wrote a handful of books, and some of those had good jokes in it. I remember one about Dave Barry went to Japan. It had the word fuck in it. It was the first time
right.
Dave Barry had used the word fuck in a joke. It was really funny to me. I was like a freshman in high school.
I don't want it to sound like I'm speaking ill of Dave Barry. I just never really read his stuff, so I wanted to get an opinion.
But he wrote that movie, or he wrote that book, Big Trouble. Which is was made into that movie.
Big Trouble Little China?
No. Oh. Just Big Trouble with Tim Allen is in it. And then it's like a laundry list of who's that.
Okay.
It's like a bunch of TV. Rene Russo's in it, but then everybody else feels like a TV star, like Patrick Warburton and
right.
Janine Garofalo. And I can't even remember the rest of the.
You'll have to check it out.
Jason Lee was in it before he became a Scientologist. It got pushed. Because it had something to do, there was like a bomb on a plane.
Oh, yeah. And,
it got pushed because it was supposed to come out right after 9/11. Dennis Farina's in it.
I love Dennis Farina. Midnight Run, buddy. That's one of the best movies ever.
Yeah, that movie's tight.
Yeah.
The dude's landlord from Lebowski,
yeah.
That guy.
Yeah,
Mahdi.
You're a Lebowski fan. I see you're a Bide.
I am a Lebowski fan. I enjoy that movie a great deal.
Excellent. Hey, thanks for tuning into the second episode. Tune in tomorrow for a third installment of Jeff.
We're going to do a road story on the next one.
Jeff Tate and Dave White. My listeners know how this goes.
You want to know about life on the road? It's
booze, tacos, angry dwarfs, strippers waving guns,
and
bees, fights, canceled flights, running with the runs,
and
blacklists, bounce checks, great, a bachelorette, drunks in the front, making out through your set,
and
middle acts doing blow, more missing merch,
and
drive the rental car past another mega church,
and
juice, keys, vagina, fist, your cell phone is gone, one big Law and Order marathon.